Stay tuned
for one of the most unusual and fascinating hours you'll ever hear. The subject is UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet UFO Continuum, a one-hour program dedicated to a very strange phenomena, unidentified flying objects. Whether or not you believe UFOs exist, the controversy is real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, Director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of UFOs. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss one of the most fascinating and strange subjects in the world. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And good evening and welcome to the program this evening. Coming up, my guest tonight returns from last week to talk about his recent book, West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters in the Mountain State. Unfortunately, we ran out of time last week, so we couldn't cover all the material that I had wanted to, but Bob Teets has graciously agreed to return to tonight's program. There's a lot we haven't talked about, so stay tuned. Now, before I go to my guest, I have some news I wanted to impart. It appears that there might be another hole in the Roper poll on the abduction study that was done in 1992. This article comes from the Washington Post. It's titled "Abductions Fit Profile of Dreams." A Roper poll commissioned in 1992 by believers in alien abductions concluded that 2% of Americans, about 5 million people, reported experiences that could mean they had been abducted. That profile also accommodates the most likely scientific explanation for abduction accounts. Self-described abductees report feeling paralyzed during the experience, which often occurs at night in bed. Sleep paralysis is a condition medical research suggests might afflict 4% of people during their lifetimes. It comes between sleep and wakefulness during that twilight zone when the brain doesn't switch very cleanly from dreams to waking, said Ronald Siegel, a research psychopharmacologist at the UCLA School of Medicine. The sensation is vivid, even terrifying. It's a dream experience within a mind sufficiently awake to be chronicled by all five senses and logged as memory. Researchers trace sleep analysis to antiquity. Male Babylonians swore they'd been seduced by the female demon of the wind. In old Germany, Siegel said, she was known as the mare, this old ugly woman who sat on the chest of the dreamer and produced nightmares. That's where the word comes from. Siegel's research is recounted in the book Fire in the Brain. That's the end of the article. I thought it was very interesting. 4% of Americans suffer from sleep paralysis. And how many of those are possibly mixed up with abduction, dreams and things like that? I thought that was interesting. We also are hearing a rumor that Richard Hoagland has struck a deal with Omni magazine that Omni is going to publish the results of his Mars mission findings regarding the secret Pentagon Clementine photographs. So as soon as we find out more about that, we'll let you know how that goes. Okay, now on to our guest tonight. My guest, he is a former journalist who has documented more than 150 UFO cases based on eyewitness accounts from West Virginians of all walks of life and from every area of the state. Sometimes with humor, often with fear, these people recount in their own words the mystery and horror, pathos and honor, the glory and tears they experienced when they came face to face with an enigmatic phenomenon as old as time and as new as today's headlines. West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters in the Mountain State is a chronicle of people who did not ask to see, but who now need to know what's it about. And that is exactly what we're going to do here tonight. We're going to find out what it's about. Now, last week we discussed some of the experiences that people in West Virginia had shared with the author. The stories are as unique as the people telling them. What is more interesting about this is Bob's journey that led up to the publication of this book. This book also has some interesting perspectives and theories based upon the author's experience. So it's my pleasure to please welcome Bob Teets. Good evening, Bob.
Well, hi. How you doing?
Very good. And thank you for coming back on the program tonight.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay. Let's recap real quick what the book is about. Tell us what the scenario is, what about your research and what culminated in the publication of this book.
Okay. I, for the last couple of years, worked for the Human Potential Foundation, and we investigated the UFO phenomenon from coast to coast. And at the end of that period, I felt that I had a pretty good feel for what was going on, but had absolutely no understanding or feel for what was happening here in my own home state of West Virginia. So I decided to send out a press release. I'm a former journalist. I used to publish a newspaper here in West Virginia. So I sent out a press release last July, and in just, I would guess around after 45 days or so, expecting I would have a couple dozen calls, I had about 150. And so that formed the basis for the book, which I published right around Christmas time. So it's been about 5 months out now. And what's interesting about that is based on that 135 to 150 stories, I now have at least 650 from West Virginians who, once they saw the book, started calling.
Okay, so you keep getting calls from people then?
Oh, every week, yes.
Okay. Now, what is the major theme of the book? In other words, I know that the book talks about a lot of close encounters and that type of thing. But as your biography says, when we opened the program, there's apparently a lot of people that have seen these things and have had some type of interaction with them.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any higher incidence of that in West Virginia than in any other state. But it's interesting, of course, depending on the area of the country that you're traveling in or researching, there are always, when you hear the stories from the local people, there's always a bit of the local feel in the story. For example, here in Appalachia, when you talk to a lot of these people, their theories are that UFOs reside in abandoned coal mines. When you go, let's say, to the Great Lakes area, a lot of people there feel that UFOs reside under the water in the lakes.
Mm-hmm.
There are, it seems to me, you know, this is sort of a regionalized type of phenomenon that you can overlay over top of the greater phenomenon.
Now, West Virginia, I believe, Flatwoods to be specific, wasn't that the site of a famous UFO encounter case in 1952?
Yes, that occurred about 2 months after UFOs ringed Washington, D.C. and apparently broke the airspace over the White House. And I still think, for some reason, that those two incidents are related. I interviewed the only adult eyewitness to the Flatwoods close encounter, a woman who was a hairdresser, and a number of children who were playing football below her house, went up on this hilltop and came face to face with what is now becoming known as the Flatwoods Green Monster.
Okay. All right. Well, these stories that have been told now, they involve entities, don't they?
Yes. Yes, in just about, a lot of cases they sure do.
Okay. All right, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll get more in-depth into that, so please stay tuned. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. My guest is Bob Teets. He is the author of West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters in the Mountain State, and a very interesting book indeed, and we're going to talk a lot more about some of the stuff that's in it, and when we come back. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the outgrowth of a worldwide communications network that specializes in paranormal phenomena. And every issue, it gives you a global perspective on the UFO enigma. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. Subscribe now and get a free catalog of UFO news articles, files, documents, sighting reports, and much more available from Paranet, the world's foremost electronic network of the paranormal. The catalog is a $5 value, but it's free with your $18 one-year subscription to Continuum. You'll also get $15 off your first catalog order of $20 or more, available by print, electronically, or by fax, with a small additional fee. Continuum is also available by fax. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-387-2001. That's 800-387-2001 for Continuum.
The Paranet UFO Continuum is pleased to offer a number of exciting products. Cassette tapes of previous shows are available for $8 each, or 2 for $12, or 4 for $20. You can also order Paranet memberships and subscriptions to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly newsletter. Paranet, along with MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, is pleased to offer a stunning black t-shirt with a background of galaxies, stars, and comets, and the Paranet and MICAP logos, along with the beautiful blue-green planet Earth. When you order from Paranet, you're helping to keep this program on the air. Call now to place an order or to get more information at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-UFO-6381. Paranet, your window on the universe at 1-800-UFO-6381.
When it comes to UFOs, it's important to keep an open mind, but not as open as, say, a refuse can. We separate the facts from the garbage on the Paranet UFO Continuum. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And please welcome back my guest, Bob Teets, author of West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters in the Mountain State. Bob, now, you mentioned earlier about the Human Potential Foundation. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about that in the months to come. But what is the Human Potential Foundation?
The Human Potential Foundation was started, from what I've been told anyway, to investigate areas of so-called new science, facilitated communication, interspecies communication, and so forth. And when I was introduced to the president, Scott Jones, I asked how the foundation intended to share the information that that it amassed. And he said, well, we really hadn't discussed that, so I suggested that they found a press in order to publish books and monographs and so forth to help keep the public up to date with what they were doing. So Scott thought that was a good idea, so he retained my company. We own a publishing company here, and our company consulted. And I was the managing editor of the HPF Press.
I see. Okay. Now, the and it was basically your association with them that led you on these excursions across the country, interviewing people who had had experiences. Correct.
Right.
Okay. Now, I'm curious to know the UFO matrix of belief, which is in the appendix of the book. Can you discuss that a little bit for us? Kind of give us an overview of what it is and how you came up with this.
Sure. The Matrix was written by a colleague, Dick Farley, who was also a former journalist. And Dick and I traveled throughout the U.S. During that period of time investigating the phenomenon and attending conferences and so forth. Essentially, the Matrix attempts in a static way to lay out what the possibilities of the UFO phenomenon are. And very briefly, it starts with a category that most UFO sightings can be explained in prosaic terms. And then it gets a little more esoteric as we go along. For instance, can say that these are craft from off-planet or from interdimensional spaces or interstitial spaces. Sometimes reports have a spiritual overtone to them, so there's a category there that that reflects spiritual attitudes or the spiritual possibility that that this phenomenon may at least in part be about. And then it gets into areas of potential government awareness and or involvement in the phenomenon.
What's your experience tell you about what is going on?
Well, let's see. We have
That's about the big question, right?
35 minutes. Well, when one looks at the matrix, and of course it is a static document, and it allows for ambiguity within any particular category, but once one begins to hear stories or to interview people who have had various experiences, then the matrix becomes rather blurred because one person can have many experiences that touch on various categories. So it's not a dynamic sort of document.
Okay.
But nonetheless, I want to say that when you look at the matrix, from what from my experience anyway, I would say that it's potentially all of the above.
Okay, so it incorporates what the full range of possibilities.
Well, one would think so, yes.
Okay. Now, the reason I bring this up is because I think that it's quite important to impart to the listeners the ideas that you've been, you know, wrestling with and things that you've put in the book toward the end, because I think the end is quite interesting. From the standpoint of, you know, you have talked to a lot of people. I'm not sure how many that would amount to, aside from the 150 or the 650 you mentioned. But, you know, these opinions and these theories that you have are based upon quite a bit of data collection. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've probably interviewed in the neighborhood of about 1,200 people, be my guess.
Okay. Kind of for the basis of being able to relate some of the stories, give us a couple of ideas of some of the stories that you saw or that you heard in West Virginia and how those plug into the matrix.
Okay. Well, you mentioned toward the end of the book, and to me that is one of the more compelling stories in there, although there are many, many contained in the book. That essentially is a story about a small town, many, many residents there over the period of 15 years, repeatedly seeing strange lights and crafts in some sort of a dance or an interplay or doing something over a series of three cemeteries there that surround a small church, a country church out in the boondocks.
This is the Nethkin Hill story you're talking about.
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. And to me, that story taken in total with a lot of the people, and I don't have all of their stories in the book, and I just got a call about 3 weeks ago from a woman who saw a light, and she thinks that it had the shape of an ovoid or, you know, a disc, and it was up on Nethkin Hill. She couldn't see it right over top of the cemetery because of the way her house sits way down in a valley. But again, this was over top of Nethkin Hill. And you begin to look at the elements as they're reflected in the matrix, and of course you wonder right off the bat if there's not some spiritual significance there.
Well, right, in the story that you have in the book, you're talking about one of the three witnesses apparently watched a light or a disc or something hover over a grave that had just been somebody had just been buried there.
Right, and to me, another astounding element of the story is that one of the witnesses was the Methodist minister who officiated during the interment that afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And he and this other young man who was with him, both of them were in their 20s at that time, ran down to the graveyard. They were about a quarter mile away or so up on a hill looking down, so they had a perfect view of what was going on, and this craft came up a valley and then hovered over top of this fresh grave and shined a bright light down on it for several seconds. Of course, right there are, potential interconnections with, people who report out-of-body experiences or near-death experiences often report seeing a bright light, and they're compelled to go into this light. They're like pulled into this, and one wonders on a more let's say passive kind of potential there. Could people, these witnesses, have been seeing some sort of a soul transfer? That's just one of the areas. There are many others, and of course the spiritual aspects there, because of the tie-in with the minister, are pretty awesome. And this gentleman, and that's been many years ago, and I interviewed him recently, and he's still trying to make sense out of it. So that's one of the possibilities. There are a few others with stories surrounding Nefkin Hill, where let's say it seemed from the people during the interview, at least, that there might have been a real malevolent type of feeling associated with their various sightings.
Okay, Bob, hold it right there. We'll come back and pick that up, okay?
Okay.
We'll be back and talk about harvest time in Elk Garden and other things. Think of the possibilities as Chapter 17 of the book describes. We'll be back after this announcement. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. Grab a pen and get ready to copy down a computer address. It's an email address where you can reach the Paranet Information Services BBS through America Online. With America Online's Internet Gateway, you can send us mail and we can respond to you personally through your America Online screen name. With America Online's Usenet Newsgroup tie-in, you can also access the 7 Paranet newsgroups dealing with UFOs, metaphysics, paranormal activity, and others. Learn about our upcoming shows and pose questions in advance. And if your question is selected, you'll get a free cassette copy of the show. You'll also find summaries of past shows. If you're not already a customer of America Online, call 1-800-827-6364 for more information. Now, here's that email address to reach us. It's paranet@aol.com or paranet@paranet.org. America Online and Paranet. A winning combination.
Month after month, we hear the laments. Where are the quality investments? Interest rates are down. Bonds and IRAs flat. Well, one investment has surfaced recently, paying enormous dividends. It's priced reasonably, it's simple to purchase, and while you can't buy it on the stock market, you can buy it at your supermarket. It's any product or packaging made from recycled materials. When you buy those products, the paper, plastic, metal, and glass that you've recycled gets put to good use, and recycling keeps working to help protect the earth. So look for products and packaging made from recycled materials, and buy recycled. In a world of investments, it's the only one that means the world to all of us. For a free brochure on buying recycled, call the Environmental Defense Fund at 1-800-CALL-EDF.
This message from the Ad Council, the U.S. EPA, and the Environmental Defense Fund.
The mystery of UFOs, strange lights in the sky, crashed saucers, alien abductions, secret military projects, government cover-ups, hoaxes, and frauds. We cover it all on the Paranet UFO Continuum. Now back to your host, Michael Corbin.
And our number is 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. Give us a call if you think this is spiritual or if you think this is actually extraterrestrials. We want to hear from you. My guest is Bob Teets. We're talking about the book West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters in the Mountain State. And when we went to break the last break, we were talking about the chapter titled The Harvest Time in Elk Garden. And we're talking about UFOs being seen over a cemetery and the potential spiritual aspects of it. Bob, why is it when people say spiritual that their heckles go up? I mean, I know a lot of people do that, but yet there seems to be a lot of New Age thought in the UFO movement, and yet, you know, when you come up with something like this where people will say, I felt something malevolent associated with that, it's like it just kind of rolls off people's back. They don't want to talk about it.
Really? I'm as intrigued as you, Michael. It seems to me that one must keep an open mind. The hardest thing to do when looking at examining this phenomenon is to keep an open mind. The easiest is to fall back into denial into your own belief systems. And as a journalist, I suppose I find it easy to just keep an open mind on various subject matters, but when it comes to UFOs, it really does test one's ability to keep that open mind.
How many people would you say that you've interviewed, Bob, who reported feeling a sense of evil associated with any kind of an experience like this?
Well, I really haven't looked at it in those terms over those 1,000 or 1,200 people that I've interviewed, but I would have to say that the percentage would be somewhat higher than a lot of researchers report who are willing to put a guess or based on some survey or another to put it in print. Taking a really wild guess here, I would say that on the basis of the West Virginians, I would guess that fully maybe 30% or more.
About that many?
Yeah.
That's quite a few, I should say.
Yeah, it is. Based upon other reports that I've read, anyway.
Okay. Now, why do you think some of these journalists or some of these other people that are researching this stuff would not want to maybe talk about that?
Well, it's really hard. There could be various agendas at work, looking at it from kind of the cynical side. All the way to, you know, a lot of times when you're, whatever it is that you're researching, you have in mind something that you're looking for. And perhaps if someone has a feeling of genuine openness to this phenomenon, they might feel that these researchers may feel that the people they're interviewing are giving them positive feedback on various of their experiences.
Okay. Now, in your book, you talk about the search for intent via its effects. What does that mean?
Well, essentially, you know, people will tell you during an interview that, well, it really didn't hurt me, but I just had this feeling that if I hadn't have done this or that, or if someone hadn't come along or something hadn't happened, that I would really have been in deep trouble with this entity or with this craft or whatever. And so that's sort of one basis. You know, you have to follow people's intuition and their memories of what they remember going through their mind during these sightings and experiences. And so if you're taking a look at the intent of whatever this phenomenon is about, one way, because, I mean, obviously E.T. hasn't made himself known to say, well, you know, here's our intent. At least on a broad scale, a lot of people claim that that they're in contact and that they know what the intent is. But In the mainstream, that is not readily apparent yet. So one has to say, well, what is the intent? And one way of looking at that intent is to listen to people tell you what effect the phenomenon has had on them. And again, I'm taking a guess here, but I know at least 30% of the people, maybe more, I've talked with, had a negative feeling or experience with UFOs. And so you would have to say that, therefore, that that at least, you know, that percentage, 30% or more of this phenomenon, has a negative effect on people.
Okay. Now, it looks like in your thesis that basically you've examined, say, like the Native American influences, different scenarios. Like, for example, I've seen here you mentioned William Bramley, author of Gods of Eden, where Bramley suggests that we are the product or the care of custodians, in the care of custodians, who are these aliens. And you've got a couple of other things in here, but you go to the core debate regarding UFOs, and what I want to do is I want to hold that over so when we come back, we can talk about that during the next segment and expand on it, because there's also something I want to talk about, the spirit releasement therapy that you've detailed in there, okay?
Okay, great.
So 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. We'll be right back.
It's been said the pen is mightier than the sword. With Paranet, the computer and modem is mightier than the pen. Paranet is the world's foremost electronic authority on UFOs and the paranormal. Paranet gives you rapid access to UFO researchers, investigators, and others like you who want to know what's going on. You'll find stimulating discussions, valuable resources, and best of all, an interactive link to the world through the Internet's information superhighway. There's a variety of departments dealing with paranormal activities, parapsychology, alien abduction research, conspiracy theories and government cover-ups, and cutting-edge science. There's even a skeptics conference. Paranet also has the world's most comprehensive database of news articles, citing reports, and much more, available for a small fee. So plug into power and knowledge with Paranet. Call the data line at Area 303-429-2713. That's 303-429-2713. Or for more information, contact Paranet at 303-429-2654.
Pilots, when you fly, you need convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that provide you with the services and treatment you deserve. The Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides are what you need. These are free, pocket-sized guides giving you information about large and small airports all over the country. Information like radio frequencies, runway systems, coordinates, and taxiways, as well as fuel and aircraft services provided at the airport, and local businesses catering to private pilots. It's yours free. Ask the fixed base operator at your favorite stops to carry the Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides, or call Area 303-669-1800. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Talk to the FBO at your favorite destinations or call Skyway Publications at Area 303-669-1800.
Are UFOs for real, or are they just fiction? To find out, stay with us for more of the Paranet UFO Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
And welcome back, my guest, Bob Teets, author of West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters in the Mountain State. When we went to break, we were talking about the core of the issue here, the core debate regarding UFOs, and we were talking about the last phase of this thing that is so fascinating. Bob, go ahead and let's talk about the the core debate regarding UFOs. What does it boil down to for you?
At least at the time that I wrote the book, it seemed to me that the esoteric or metaphysical side of the phenomenon had a lot of intrinsic intrigue and perhaps danger and a few other factors, many of which confronted my fixed belief system. And therefore, when one reads this book, it's sort of, I guess, on one level at least, looking inside my head, trying to go along with me and figure out what is going on here. And, of course, you get into some of these areas like metaphysics and you hear a lot of people talk about their own fear and the negativity that they associate with the phenomenon because of their experience. And pretty soon it can have an infectious kind of quality, you know. And so I was facing a lot of fears right about that time that I was working on the book. So I found that at least my way of dealing a lot of times with fear is to sort of face it or treat it like a wolf that's sitting at a campfire, you know, across a campfire from you, and you stare at each other, and you know that one can destroy the other, and but there is sort of a respect there as you try to both try to survive, given this sort of friction that's inherent between you. So that was kind of where I was right there at the time I was writing the book. And of course, it's it has absolutely nothing to do with it other than it was just one of those things. But I finished writing the book on Halloween, so. So, what can I say? You had mentioned that about spirit releasement therapy in the book, and
well, you talk about angels in here. You talk about the possibility that we might be dealing with angels or fallen angels or whatever. And according to something you have in here, you say that a Time magazine poll produced on December 23rd, 1993, reported that 69% of Americans believe in angels, while only 49% believe in fallen angels or demons. You know, that kind of leads up to the spirit releasement therapy thing.
It does indeed. Let's just for a moment, I'll ask you and the listeners just to suspend your belief systems just for a few minutes here and say, well, you know, what if angels are real, you know? And what if the fallen angels or the demons, you know, are real? What if a lot of the ancient texts, the Bible and others, are accurate in their depiction of the forces of good and evil? I know John Mack has a problem with that. He really doesn't want to get into that area, so he discounts what he calls the Christian dualism. But when one, just for a few minutes, if you can suspend your judgment and your belief system, let's just say for a moment that that they are real. If you're angels and you're benevolent and you have nothing but good hopes for humankind, and you want to interact with them and to help to prod them toward doing good things. One would say that magazine poll was pretty accurate because people have had wonderful experiences with angels, an overwhelming majority of American citizens. However, if you're in charge of the dark side, if you know, if you're the main demon, if you're Lucifer or whatever, it's a lot of it's about marketing. So how would you market the dark side once you get away from the venue of, say, Star Wars? How would you do it? Well, to me, the most brilliant play would be to convince people that you don't exist, that the demons don't exist. And again, that Time magazine poll tends to bear that out.
Well, it shows 49%, or what was it, 69%. That's a heck of a lot more than 2% who believe they've been abducted.
Right,
you know,
right.
That shows there's a lot of people that do believe that.
Yeah, but it's still less than half the population. So there's a dichotomy there. There's a problem. About 25% of the people believe in angels but don't believe in the demons. And so, all right, if you're running the show from the dark side, you know, you have to say, well, we're having some luck here because we've convinced a lot of people that we don't exist. One person that they certainly haven't convinced is Dr. William Baldwin, a psychologist who resides in Florida. He has developed over a period of a decade and a half a process that he calls spirit releasement therapy. And he's building on the work of Edith Fiore and others with whom he worked in the past. And essentially his clients have presenting problems of one sort or another, but Dr. Baldwin accesses these so-called entities, at least that's what the client reports to him. He's not making this up. The client accesses these entities within them, and I've seen him work. I've attended some of his training seminars and so forth, and it is a very loving and very gentle kind of a process, and apparently a very effective treatment process for his clients.
Treatment of what?
Dr. Baldwin, in trying to put his own matrix onto this part of psychiatry and psychology, says that there are discarnate spirits of people who have died that haven't left this earth plane, and they kind of hang around, and they have the ability to mimic a person's vibration, so therefore they can actually enter into the aura, and one would say the interstitial spaces of another person, and influence them in various ways. Including if this person died from, say, cirrhosis of the liver or whatever because they had a drinking problem. There are many cases where people were never drinkers. They were almost teetotalers, and then just seemingly overnight they became almost obsessed with drinking. Same thing with various drug addicts and even cigarette smokers and so forth and so on.
So as the name spirit releasement therapy implies, it's some type of exorcism, right?
Right, right. And beside the discarnate spirits, those are spirits of people who have died, there are also, according to his clients, entities within us that people that his clients identify as demonic or negative sort of entities, where it crosses over into the UFO field, of course, is that many times Dr. Baldwin, in doing his work with clients, has accessed an entity and come to find out that it is an ET. And that this ET reports to a mothership that's hovering somewhere over the Earth, and that he'll speak to the commander of that ship and find out that the ETs are being possessed by demons. And so he'll release these demons through this therapeutic process that he and his clients have developed. And then lo and behold, the ETs, these extraterrestrials, agree to let this person alone. They agree to remove any implants or any influence that they've had over them. It's a most intriguing, albeit fantastic paradigm.
It sounds like it. Okay, well, when we come back, we're going to have to get information as to how we can get this book, okay?
Okay, great.
So hold over. My guest is Bob Teach. We're talking about West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters in the Mountain State. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. We'll be right back.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the outgrowth of a worldwide communications network that specializes in paranormal phenomena. At every issue, it gives you a global perspective on the UFO enigma. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. Subscribe now and get a free catalog of UFO news articles, files, documents, sighting reports, and much more available from Paranet, the world's foremost electronic network of the paranormal. The catalog is a $5 value, but it's free with your $18 one-year subscription to Continuum. You'll also get $15 off your first catalog order of $20 or more. Available by print, electronically, or by fax, with a small additional fee. Continuum is also available by fax. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-387-2001. That's 800-387-2001 for Continuum.
A lot of people think that to appreciate culture, you've got to enjoy things like this. Or this.
In early Mesopotamia, evidence of the first audit exists in the form of lists on clay tablets.
Well, a lot of people respond to those things like this.
Fabulous.
Other people go...
Is it over?
For those of you in the... category... You can't expect every cultural activity to appeal to everybody. That's why 23,000 arts and humanities groups called the National Cultural Alliance are offering you something everybody likes. A choice! For a free brochure about what's going on in your community, just call 800-NCA-8888. A little redundant? That's okay. And then you could get excited about something like this. Oh, yeah. William Tell It All. The arts and humanities. There's something in it for you. The National Cultural Alliance and the Ad Council invite you to explore what's available in your community. Just call 800-NCA-888.
Listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. Whether or not you believe in UFOs, there's a lot about the subject you haven't heard. Stay tuned. Keep an open mind. Call in and join the discussion. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters in the Mountain State is the title of the book. Bob, give out your 800 number, how we can get a hold of a copy of this book.
All right. The 800 number, 1-800-570-5951. If you don't have a pencil handy, just try to think of newspaper headlines, and then our name is Headline Books Incorporated, and you can call the 800 operator, and she'll give you this number, 800-570-5951. 1-800-951-5151.
Very good. Thank you very much for appearing on the program, coming back to talk a little bit more in depth about your research. I think it's interesting, and thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. All right. Now, I've got a couple of things I want to mention before we close down for the evening. If you're in the Denver area, if you're interested in getting involved in organizing an international UFO research group, MICAP is for you. Now, you've heard about MICAP on this program. MICAP stands for the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena. It was formed to become a leader in standards-based investigation and research. You know from listening to me that I'm strongly for methods-based research of UFOs. MICAP is the answer to this. There are a lot of things that are being planned to introduce a new system to UFO research via MICAP. So if you want more information, write this number down. It's an exciting opportunity. You want to contact Brian Wood at 1-800-836-6381. That's 1-800-836-6381. And one other thing I want to mention to you. The latest issue of Continuum is out. It is hot. And I want to tell you that we're getting a lot of response from our readers that this may be the best issue yet. It's 32 pages, packed with interesting articles, snippets from our Global Communications Network, sources and resources, an article by me on spooky ufology. It's an in-depth and continuing article on intelligence community activity and in UFOs and a lot more. This is magazine's $18 a year, and it should be your one source for all the information that we have to talk about that we don't talk about on this program. Send $18 to Continuum, Post Office Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034-0172. That's it for tonight. We'll see you next week. And I want to thank our producers, Brian Wood, Greg Barman, and Daryl Bear, and the crew down at Poor Joe's at 970 Lincoln Street. We'll see you next week. I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.
About UFOs, Continuum is different. Continuum is the outgrowth of a worldwide communications network that specializes in paranormal phenomena. Every issue gives you a global perspective on the UFO enigma. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. Paranet, the world's foremost network of the paranormal, offers a one-year subscription to Continuum for only $18. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-836-6381. That's 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum is published quarterly by Paranet Information Services and MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-836-6381.